Rayanandamaskritya Naramne Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, chapter entitled Dhritarashtra Quits on Text Number 6 and 7. Mumuchu Prema Bashpokam.
Mumuchu Prema Bashpokam.
Virahot Kancha Katara.
Virahot Kancha Katara.
Rajatam Ahayam Chakre.
Rajatam Ahayam Chakre.
Vritasana Parigraham.
Vritasana Parigraham.
Mumuchu Prema Bashpogam.
Mumuchu Prema Bashpogam.
Virahod Kancha Katara.
Virahod Kancha Katara.
Rajatam Ahayam Chakre.
Rajatam Ahayam Chakre.
Vritasana Parigraham.
Vritasana Parigraham.
Mumuchu.
Mumuchu.
Emanated.
Emanated.
Prema.
Prema.
Affection.
Affectionate.
Bashpa-okam.
Bashpa-okam.
Emotional tears.
Viraha.
Separation.
Separation.
Otkancha.
Otkancha.
Anxiousness.
Anxiousness.
Katara.
Katara.
Being aggrieved.
Being aggrieved.
Raja.
Raja.
King Yudhishthira.
King Yudhishthira.
Tam.
Unto him.
Vidura.
Vidura.
Ahayam Chakre.
Ahayam Chakre.
Offer.
Offer.
Krita.
Krita.
Performance of.
Performance of.
Arasana.
Arasana.
Sitting accommodations.
Sitting accommodations.
Parigraham.
Parigraham.
Arrangement of.
Arrangement of.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Due to anxieties among the separation, they all cried out of affection. King Yudhishthira then arranged to offer sitting accommodations and a reception. Translation responsibly. Due to anxieties and long separation.
Due to anxieties and long separation.
They all cried out of affection.
They all cried out of affection.
King Yudhishthira then arranged to offer.
King Yudhishthira arranged to offer.
Sitting accommodations and a reception.
Sitting accommodations and a reception.
Text 7. After Vidura ate sumptuously and took sufficient rest, he was comfortably seated. Then the king began to speak to him, and all who were present there listened. King Yudhishthira was expert in reception also, even in the case of his family members. Vidura was well received by all the family members by exchange of embraces and obeisances. After that, bathing and arrangements for a sumptuous dinner were made, and then he was given sufficient rest. After finishing his rest, he was offered a comfortable place to sit. And then the king began to talk about all happenings, both family and otherwise. That is the proper way to receive a beloved friend or even an enemy. According to Indian moral codes, even an enemy received at home should be so well received that he will not feel any fearful situation. An enemy is always afraid of his enemy, but this should not be so when he is received at home by his enemy. This means that a person, when received at home, should be treated as a relative. So what to speak of a family member like Vidura? who is a well-wisher for all the members of the family. Thus Yudhishthira Maharaj began to speak in the presence of all the other members. Om Gyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapatantikam Vancha Kalpatu Rupyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Petitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this pastime is related in the Mahabharata, and it is also related later in the third canto of the Bhagavatam. What takes place is that Vidura is a member of the royal court of the Kuru dynasty. Now there were two main dynasties on the planet. At the time when Krishna appeared, there was the Yadu dynasty and the Kuru dynasty. So there was some curse which took place in the past, and in the curse it was said that the Yadu dynasty would never become the rulers of the planet. They would never become the dominating dynasty. They were cousins, they were related, these two dynasties, coming from Yadu and coming from Kuru. So the Yadu dynasty, Krishna personally appeared, and Balaram, they personally appeared within that dynasty. But they never became the ruling dynasty. The Kuru dynasty was the ruling dynasty. That was the dominant dynasty on the earth at the time. So within that dynasty, there was a point when Maharaj Shantanu, he had a son, and the son was named Bhishma, or Gangaya. He was the son of Gangadevi. But Bhishma took a vow that he would never take the throne. He would never become the king or the emperor of the earth. He took a vow. So even though he was a great Kshatriya, he took a vow that he would never marry, and that he would never, and that was very extraordinary, because Kshatriyas always marry multiple wives generally. So it was very extraordinary that a Kshatriya would take a vow like that, that he would not marry. So at the time that he took that vow, the demigods, they said, Bhishma, this person is awesome. Bhishma means awesome or incredible. And then you have Bhima. Bhim also means like that, incredible, awesome. Bhima, Bhishma, like that. So Bhishma, he was known for his incredible vow that he would never get married. So then there was some problem in the dynasty, because there was no king to take over the dynasty. Two were born, and there were two kings, Vichitravirya, and who was the other one, Bhakti? Chitraangana. Is that it? Chitraangana. Okay, Chitraangana and Vichitravirya. So these two were born. One of them was killed by a Gandhava, because the Gandhava and he had the same name. Both of them shared the same name. The Gandhavas live on a different planet to us. And he was the king of the Gandhavas, and he heard that one of the kings on earth had the same name as him. So he came down and he challenged him. He said, come and fight with me and we'll work out. There can only be one of us with this name in this universe. So they had a fight for many days, and finally he was killed. The Kuru prince was killed. And then the second Kuru prince, he also passed away. He caught, I think it was tuberculosis, he caught a disease, and he passed away. So suddenly there was no kings to rule the Kuru dynasty after such a long time. So at that point in time, Bhishma, he had to organize, because he said he would not take the role of being a king or the emperor of the earth. So then Bhishma, he arranged that there were several princesses brought, and they would populate the dynasty once again. So from then, three children were born. One was Pandu, one was Dhritarashtra, and the other one was Vidura. So Dhritarashtra was born blind, because the story is a very long story, but Vyasadeva, he had to come and become the sire of the dynasty. Because there was no prince to impregnate the princesses, then they had to bring Srila Vyasadeva. Right? Vyasadeva was actually, technically, he was Satyavati's son. It goes back, there's a whole history. But Satyavati, she was a princess in the dynasty, and she gave birth to Srila Vyasadeva before she became a princess in the Guru dynasty. She united with Parashurmuni. Parashurmuni was crossing a river. She was born as the daughter of a fisherman. So her service was to carry the sages across the river. She would row the boat across the river. So halfway across the river, Parashurmuni, he looked into the stars and he saw that it was a very auspicious astrological constellation had come, and he said to her, he said, "We have to have a child." And she said, "Well, that's not possible." And he said, "No, we have to have a child." He could understand, she could understand that he was a great sage, so he wasn't approaching her out of lust, but he was approaching her out of a necessity to bring a great soul into the universe at that time. But she said to him that, "I cannot be touched by someone, because then if I'm touched by you, then I cannot be married. No one will marry me if I'm touched by someone else." So then he said, "Do not worry, I will reinstate your virginity at the end of our union." So then he created a fog, a mystical fog, appeared around the river, and they went to an island in the middle of the river. They united. And then at that time, as soon as they united, Vyasadeva was born. He appeared, because he was a powerful sage. So he didn't have to wait. She didn't have to wait 9 months to have a baby. Immediately, he came, and then he went into youth, into adulthood. And then he said to her, he said that, "If you ever need me, mother, you just call and I will come." And then he left. And then Parashara, he got onto the boat with Satyavati. They went back across the river, and then life continued on. Parashara went off to fulfill his vows as a sage. Satyavati, she became a member of the Kuru dynasty. She became a princess within the Kuru dynasty. And she arranged later on, when there was no one to sire the dynasty, when the two princes had passed away, then she organized, she called Vyasadeva. She said, "You come now and you will impregnate these three princesses and you will give children to this dynasty. You will continue the dynasty." So Vyasadeva came, and he was a sage, so he was very austere. So he was long dreadlocks, and he was covered with earth like that. He was a sage, he was an ascetic. So he came, and he said to his mother, she called him, he came and he said, "What is it that you desire?" She said, "I want you to impregnate these princesses." Like that. So normally, before a child is begotten, the wife and the husband, they will do austerities for a year in the royal dynasties. They will perform austerities for 1 year to purify their consciousness so that they could have a powerful child. So there was no time to wait 1 year. So Vyasadeva said, "The austerity for these princesses is that they will unite with me as I am. I will not clean myself, I will not take a bath, I will not dress beautifully. I will just approach them as I am. That will be their purification. So then the princesses were told, Satyavati said to the princesses, Ambika, Ambalika and Amba, the three princesses, said that you will unite with one of the members of the, one of the princes of the Kuru dynasty. They will come to you tonight. Prepare yourself in your bedchamber. So the princess went there, and she thought Bhishma was going to walk through the door. You know, some beautiful prince, you know, some prince from the Kuru dynasty. But instead, Vyasadeva walked through the door. And when the first princess saw Vyasadeva, she just became struck with fear. You know, because he looks like an ascetic, like that. So when they united, she closed her eyes the whole time. She was so, like, fearful. So Dhritarashtra, the first son, was born blind because she was so fearful. The second princess, same thing happened. We will arrange for a prince to come and visit you tonight. So then she was waiting, and then when Vyasadeva walked in, she became completely struck, and she became pale just seeing Vyasadeva. So then, because she was pale at the time of the conception, then Pandu was born. So Pandu is the word Pandu means the pale one. He was white. People in India have like a darker skin, but she was, he was born with a whitish kind of a skin. So then, the third time, when it was advised that Vyasadeva will approach, the princess who was waiting, she was too terrified to unite with Vyasadeva, so she sent her maidservant. Her principal maidservant came. So Vyasadeva came in, and he said, "Where is the princess?" And the princess said, "Sorry, the maidservant said she is too terrified to unite with you." But then the maidservant said, "I will unite with you," and she served with him. She served him very appropriately. She received the sage very respectfully. She had a very perfect attitude. So Vyasadeva was very pleased with her, so he united with her, and then Vidura was born. So Vidura was a member of the Kuru dynasty, but technically he was an inappropriate child. The Kshatriyas, you'll see in the Krishna book, if you read the first chapters of the 10th canto in the Krishna book, you will see that when Devaki and Vasudeva were married, Vasudeva received a number of maidservants with Devaki. So whenever a princess was given to the prince, maidservants were given also. Because the Kshatriyas are extremely powerful. Kshatriyas are in the mode of passion and goodness. Right? They're primarily in the mode of passion. They're very powerful. So people who are very passionate, they're very fond of sex life. So the Kshatriyas, they would also unite with the maidservants. They were allowed to do that. That was considered not inappropriate for the Kshatriyas. So within the royal court or in the royal palaces, quite often you would see there would be a number of children coming from the maidservants. So they were kind of unofficially part of the dynasty, but they could not be part of the royal family. So they were maintained within the palace or within the court, but they could not be emperors, or they could not enter the throne. They could not directly sit on the seats of the royal family. So Vidura, he was the son of Vyasadeva, he was part of the dynasty, but he could not actually become a member of the royal court. But he was always held in great respect. So everyone in the house, they gave great respect to Vidura. Actually, who was Vidura in his previous life? Who was he? Yeah, Yamaraj. No, he was actually Yamaraj himself. Because one time, this is the problem with the Mahabharata, every time you tell a story, there's another story behind the story. So, there was one sage, his name was Mandavya Muni. And he had, in his childhood, he had taken, as we do when we're children, he took a stick and he was piercing insects with the stick. So he was hitting the insects. So we do that when we're kids. We do all sorts of not nice things like that. This is not good. We should not do it, but we do it. But it says that up until the age of 12, there is no karma. Right? Up until we're 12 years old, we don't get karma. That's the law of the universe, which is good. Our parents get the karma. If we're eating meat and so forth, then our parents are getting that karma. But we don't get it until 12. After 12, you begin to accrue your own karma once again. So Mandavya, when he was a little boy, he was sticking the insects with a stick. And then there was a pastime that took place, and he was captured by a king because some dacoits were being chased by the king. And then when the king came, the dacoits had hidden within the ashram of Mandavya Muni. And when the king's men came, they said to Mandavya Muni was practicing mauna, he was practicing silence. So then they came and they said to him, they said, "Where are the dacoits?" And he was engaged in trance. He was not involved in what was going on in the outside world. So then they became very angry. They found the dacoits. And then the soldiers of the king, they became very angry. They said, "You were hiding the dacoits. We'll also take you." So they took Mandavya, they took the sage. And they took him to the king. And the king said, he said to the soldiers, "Kill the dacoits. And then kill this sage also, because he was hiding the dacoits." So they took Mandavya Muni, and outside the city, there was a huge, piece of wood, like sharp piece of wood, like a spike, and they took his body and they impaled it onto the spike. So he was there, and because he was a great sage, he could maintain his life. So he was sitting there and he's thinking, "Why is this happening? You know, what have I done? I'm an ascetic, I'm a sage, I've destroyed my karma. Why is it that I have been treated like this?" So he became very angry with Yamaraj. So he was speaking to Yamaraj, who is on Yamaloka. Which planet is Yamaraj's planet? Yamaloka. Which planet is his? Remember we were saying last week, Jupiter belongs to Brihaspati, Venus belongs to Shukracharya. And Pluto, the one we call Pluto, that is Yamaraj's planet. And it's in the south of the universe. It's down that direction. You see it actually, or you don't see it. It disappeared a few years ago, right? It was a planet, and the scientists suddenly said, "Oh no, they've lost it. It disappeared in the sky, and then it came out again," and then like that. That's Yamaraj's planet. That's Yamaloka. So Mandavya Muni, he was saying to Yamaraj, "Why have you done this? Why have you cursed? Why have you made that arrangement that I will be killed like this?" So then he cursed Yamaraj. He said, "Because you do not understand Dharma. You do not understand what is right and wrong. You have punished me for something I did before I was 12 years old." He said, "Then you will go to and take birth in a Shudra family. You will become a Shudra." So then Yamaraj was cursed and he had to take birth as Vidura. So Vidura, he was the protector of the Pandavas. And you'll read in this section, if you read in the Mahabharata, the Pandavas were exiled at different times, and they were given all sorts of problems by their cousins, by Duryodhana. So each time, this is what Yudhishthira, he says in the next verse when he speaks to Vidura, Yudhishthira says that you protected us so many times, just like they were sent to that house of lack. So as they were going to the house of lack, they were travelling to another city, and the house was a flammable house. When they were travelling, Vidura, he began to speak to Yudhishthira, and he said, he was speaking like in a code or in a covered way. He was saying to Yudhishthira, "Be very careful." He said, "The place you're going is flammable. It's actually, they're going to kill you. This is actually what's taking place." So he always protected the Pandavas. So then at one point, which is later in the Bhagavatam, when we get to the third canto, it discusses that Vidura is rejected by Duryodhana. Because the nature of a Brahmana, because Vidura was a Brahmana, he was born from Vyasadeva, and he's Yamaraj himself, so he takes birth, he's actually a Brahmana, even though the mother is technically a Sudra, but he's actually a Brahmana by qualification. So the nature of a Brahmana is that he will speak what is true. He will not hide the words just to become publicly popular. The Brahmana would just say what is needed to be said. So Vidura, he said to Duryodhana, he said, actually you are misbehaving. Actually you are treating the Pandavas improperly. And then Duryodhana, he became extremely angry. He said, who are you? He said, you are living in our house. You're like a dog, right? We feed you, we give you all the food, and now you're telling us what to do. He said, get out of this palace. He actually rejected him. So Vidura became very hurt, naturally, because he was part of the family. But he'd been spoken to like this by Duryodhana. So it says in the Bhagavatam, he left his bow at the door, because he's part of the royal family, they carry bows. So he left his bow at the door and he left. And then it describes that he travelled for around about 30 years on pilgrimage to all different holy places. And when you read the third canto of the Bhagavatam, he has a meeting with... with? Maitreya. Who does he meet first of all? Uddhava. So first he meets Uddhava. Now, Uddhava was with Krishna when Krishna left this world. You read, if you go to the 12th canto, you'll see, and the 11th canto, 11th canto is the Uddhava Gita, you'll see that when Krishna left this world, Uddhava was directly with him, next to him. So, it's very technical how it all kind of meets together. But the 11th canto, which we call the Uddhava Gita, that is a conversation which Krishna had with Uddhava in Dwarka. Now, because Dwarka was beginning to show signs of destruction. That Uddhava, he observed that something very inauspicious was happening in Dwarka, because he saw there was inauspicious omens. So he understood that Krishna was actually about to leave this world. So he came to Krishna and he said, you're actually about to leave. I can understand, because there could not be inauspicious omens in Dwarka. It's not possible. He said, that means that you are going to leave. And he said that I cannot stay if you are gone. But Krishna said, no, I want you to stay. I want you to go and teach the sages in Badrikashram, in the Himalayas. I want you to go and teach them. Because in Krishna's pastimes, if you read the Krishna book, the 10th canto, he travelled all around India. Krishna travelled to many places actually throughout India, but he never went to Badrikashram. And there were great sages in Badrikashram who wanted Krishna's association, but Krishna never got there in his pastimes, in the 125 years that he was on the earth. So Uddhava, he said to Uddhava, I want you to go there and I want you to give them my teachings. So then he spoke the Uddhava Gita to Uddhava. And then he said to Uddhava, now you go to Badrikashram, I'm going to leave this world, you give them the Uddhava Gita, the 11th canto. So Uddhava left and he started travelling. Krishna left and he went to Prabhas, Chetra, which is just below Dwarka. And then Uddhava, he turned back because he could not bear to be separated from Krishna. So on his way to Badrikashram, he turned back and he went to Prabhas and he met Krishna just after the fratricidal war where the Yadu dynasty destroyed each other, which was an illusion. It was just Yoga Maya. It didn't actually happen, but it was a pastime they had to finish in this world. So then it was as if they destroyed each other. So then Krishna was sitting under a banyan tree, and then Uddhava came back and he sat with Krishna, and then Krishna spoke to him again, and that's in the third canto of the Bhagavatam. That's what we have in the third canto, where the third canto begins after the first four chapters. Then that is the instructions, Kapila Dev, all those instructions. They're from Krishna speaking to Uddhava at that time. Third canto, I think fourth canto also is the conversation like that. So at that time when Krishna was speaking to Uddhava, Maitreya was also there. Maitreya was sitting on the side. So he was listening to the whole conversation. So later on, when Vidura was kicked out of the palace, Vidura went travelling and he met Uddhava. And he said to Uddhava, please tell me what you learnt from Krishna at the end of Krishna's pastimes. And Uddhava was very humble, even though he was extremely qualified. He was a disciple of Brihaspati. But he said, you should go and hear from Maitreya. He is senior to me. Right? And Prabhupada points out, when a more senior devotee is there, you should let them preach. Right? Someone is more senior, you let them come and speak like that. You don't preach in front of a senior devotee. You let them preach. That's the sadhacha or the etiquette. So he asked, you go and speak to Maitreya. He's not far from here. So you go there. So he went to Maitreya, and then Vidura met Maitreya and he spoke to him. So then Prabhupada says, why is it that Vidura did not go straight to be with Krishna? He was kicked out of Hastinapur. He left Hastinapur. He was rejected by his family. Why didn't he go straight to Dwarka at that time and associate with Krishna? Krishna was on the planet. But Prabhupada describes that he was feeling contaminated by the association of Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra and these persons. And Prabhupada points this out, that even a very great devotee cannot just approach Krishna quickly or immediately or directly. We can't just approach Krishna directly. Right? Because even at this point in time, we're impure. We have disqualifications. And even Vidura, who was an extremely elevated person, an extremely elevated devotee, he felt that I am contaminated through my association with these non-devotees. So I cannot directly approach Krishna. First, I have to purify myself. So he decided to go on pilgrimage around India for 30 years. So he traveled for 30 years, and then just at the end of that, then Krishna left the world. So he never got to directly associate with Krishna. So Prabhupada points out that we have to be very careful about associating with non-devotees. Because their association is very contaminating. Actually, if you read the Nectar of Instruction, the Upadeshamrita, then Rupa Goswami, he gives the first three verses. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out the first three verses are the guidelines for a sadhaka, for one who is practicing sadhana bhakti, the first three verses. First verse is Vacho Vegam, Manasakrota Vegam. Second verse is Achahara, Priyashascha. Third verse is Utsahan, Nishtaya Daryad. Right? So those three verses are the guideline for one who is practicing sadhana. So if you look at this second verse, there are six things you should not do or six things you should avoid. Vinashyati. Vinashyati means they will destroy your bhakti. And then there are three, in the third verse, there are six things that you should do. Prasidyati. Prasidyati means these things will help your bhakti. They will aid your bhakti. They will enrich your devotional service. So if you look at both of them, one thing is common in both sides. Janasangash. Right? And the other one is? What's the Sanskrit? I can't remember which one's which. One's Janasangha? No, no. But one says, they both mention not associating with the non-devotees. Huh? Yeah, Sangatyag. Okay, so one says Sangatyag, one says Janasangha. So both of them mention, right? If you want to advance in Krishna consciousness, it is mentioned twice in those verses. Don't associate with non-devotees. Be very careful of materialistic association. And that's why Prabhupada gave us ISKCON, because ISKCON is meant to give us sadhu sangha, satsanga. Right? It is meant to give us spiritual association, because we need association. That is the nature of the living entity. Srila Prabhupada said to Burujan Prabhu, he said that the living entity is social by nature. He needs community. The living entity needs to be with others. That is the nature. And Prabhupada said that if you do not associate with devotees, you will associate with non-devotees, because we need people to be with. So therefore Prabhupada gave us ISKCON so that we have satsanga or sadhu sangha, association of pure souls, pure devotees. So in ISKCON we have to find the most advanced devotees, because there are many advanced devotees in our movement. Just like recently, His Holiness Sachinandan Swami came to Australia for the first time. So then so many devotees went to be with the sadhu. Right? And being with the sadhu, the more advanced the association, the more deeply it affects the consciousness. Just like on the weekend, we're having a retreat, Ayurveda retreat. We develop all these kind of ways to bring people towards Krishna. So we said it was an Ayurveda retreat, which it was. But then I gave three seminars. First two were on Ayurveda, last one was on Krishna consciousness. like that, because that's what we're here for. We're not here just to tell people, you know, your vata is imbalanced and, you know, you need to have some challenge prashan, like that. That's not that. That's not our message. Our message is something much higher. So we bring people in, and then I was presenting it. In the third seminar, I kept saying, the Ayurveda says, but actually it was the Bhagavad Gita. I was actually preaching. I kept saying, the Ayurveda says that, but actually it was just Bhagavad Gita, actually, that they were learning from. So one of the participants, they said that they got the realization, and they actually shared that, that it's very difficult associating with the non-devotees. Because the nature of the non-devotees association is it is very contaminating. It contaminates the consciousness. So we have to be very careful about our association with the non-devotees. And the non-devotees, their association is insidious, which means it is everywhere, which means it's all pervasive, which means you have to be very careful about taking that association. Because these days, it comes into your own home. Even if you lock the doors, it still comes in. Therefore, you have to be careful about having a television. Right? Very contaminating. Right? They're very contaminating, televisions. Like that. I tell the people this all the time. I was giving the Sunday Feast Lecture at the farm. Last time we gave the Sunday Feast Lecture. And I said to everyone, I said, if you want to make spiritual progress, I said, hands up if you want to make spiritual progress. So they all put their hands up. And I said, hands up if you live on a two-story house. Some of them put their hands up. I said, okay, so go home, get your television, take it upstairs, go out to the window and drop it. Right? This is very good for your sadhana. If you want to progress in Krishna consciousness, then you have to avoid a satsanga. You have to avoid janasanga. You have to avoid association with the non-devotees. So devotees have to be very careful about television. You have to be very careful about the radio. You have to be careful about the newspapers. And these days, it's become much, much more complicated. And the non-devotees are getting much better. Now it's the internet. So everyone's just like, oh yeah, I'm just doing my emails. You know, but then, you know, there's so much on there. And even devotees, they waste so much time looking at so many things which are completely unnecessary and contaminating to your consciousness. Right? It's very powerful. A satsanga is very polluting. Even Bhishma, who was one of the 12 Mahajans, he became contaminated by the consciousness that was going on in that palace. And when Draupadi was being stripped naked, he did not protest. So the question is always asked, he was one of the Mahajans, why didn't he say anything? Right? Because he was contaminated, because he was eating grains which are being offered to him by Duryodhana. So they were sinful. And he was eating that, and he, even a very advanced devotee, Prabhupada says, became contaminated. Even one time, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Prabhupada, I think it was in Vrindavan, it was somewhere. So Prabhupada was in his room, and the door was just open a little. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj looked in to see what Prabhupada was doing. It was in the middle of the day, Prabhupada was in there by himself. And Prabhupada was reading Time magazine. Right? Because someone left it on his desk. So he was reading it. Tamal Krishna Maharaj looked in, Prabhupada, he was surprised. Prabhupada is reading Time magazine. So after 45 minutes, the bell rings. Right? And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj came in, and Prabhupada had the magazine, and he said, take it. He said, take it away. He said, they write it in such a way that you cannot put it down. But he said, it is just... He said, it is giving me a headache. He said, it is contaminating my consciousness. He said, take it away. Like that. So even Prabhupada himself, he said, these things you have to be very careful of. And we waste so much time on the internet and whatever you do, you know. Like that. You have to be very careful about these things. Radhanath Swami, a few years ago, he recommended all the brahmacharis in his temples. He said, give up your computers. Renounce your computers. He actually said that. And it's a practice which many of them do, or at least minimize it, or at least avoid the internet as much as possible, like that, because these things are very contaminating. So even Vidura was a very advanced devotee, but he was contaminated by associating with Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra. and the others. And therefore, he felt that he had to spend 30 years purifying himself before he could even go and see Krishna. You can't just approach Krishna directly. This is not the process. We cannot directly approach Krishna. We have to purify our consciousness first. So worshipping the deity, Archa Vigraha, or Sri Murti Shradaya Sevan, which is one of the principal methods of devotional service given to us by Srila Rupa Goswami, it means that it purifies the consciousness, because we cannot see Krishna directly at this point in time. So Krishna appears as the Archa Vigraha. He appears in deity form. Why? To purify our consciousness, to accept our service. And if we serve the deity very faithfully, Rupa Goswami says, Shraddhaya Sevan. Service with a Shraddha. Shraddha means great faith or great attachment. Right? Because if you analyze the nine limbs of devotional service, they begin with Shraddha. Right? And everything that we do, Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anatta Nivritti, Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, Prema, those nine, it is just Shraddha growing, or Shraddha developing. The more Shraddha you have, then we say, okay, now you're Bhajana Kriya. If you have more Shraddha, we say, now you're Nishta. If you have more faith in Krishna, now we say you're Ruchi. If you have great faith in Krishna, then we say you are Asakti and Bhava. And when you have complete faith in Krishna, then we say that is prema. So when we are doing the deity worship, we are meant to be putting our heart fully into the deity worship, and that purifies our consciousness. Therefore, Rupa Goswami and the other acharyas, they teach us that along with the Bhagavad Vidhimag, or chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and hearing the Bhagavatam, simultaneously you have to worship the deity. And Jiva Goswami says, why do we worship the deity? Because it purifies the senses. Because the senses are contaminated. So when you're chanting Hare Krishna, right, then so many impure thoughts come into the mind. But by doing deity worship, we purify our senses, purify our subtle body, so that when we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, the mind will be much more pure. And you'll get much more benefit from the chanting. So for neophyte devotees, they have to do both simultaneously. You can't just do one or the other. If you're very advanced, you can just chant Hare Krishna. Haridas Thakur is just chanting Hare Krishna. But for a neophyte devotee, we have to do both in order to purify the consciousness. That is the system. So we can't just directly associate with Krishna, or we can't just directly approach Krishna, because we are impure. So therefore, Krishna manifests in a way to purify us gradually, through devotional service, through the different angles of bhakti, so that one day we can directly approach Krishna. That is the goal. What is the goal of our devotional service?
Prema.
Srila Prabhupada says that the goal of our devotional service is that one day we will see Krishna face to face, just like we all see each other right now. Prabhupada said you will see Krishna face to face. And Prabhupada says, you will take Krishna by the hand and you will lead him, just like Mother Yashoda. And actually describes in the Madhurya Kadambini that when a devotee gets to Bhava, and then finally he gets to Prema, then when he meets Krishna for the first time after a long, long time, when we meet Krishna again, you see Krishna, and when you see him, what happens? Yeah, we faint. We see Krishna. Finally, we see him. And we see him and we just faint. And then Krishna wakes us up. And it says that if you're in Sakya Ras, if you are a friend, right, then Krishna will wake you. He will embrace you like a friend. And he will wake you up like a friend. Embrace you like a friend. Like he did with Gopakumar. And then if you are a parent, then Krishna will begin to touch you very respectfully. If you're in Vatsalya Ras, if you're like his superior. So he'll touch you very respectfully. He'll touch you on the forehead, and he will touch your hands, and he'll try to wake you up. And then if you're in Madhurya Ras, then he will kiss you. Right? And he will wake you up, bring you back to consciousness. And then, when you come back to consciousness, then you're with Krishna, then Krishna turns around, and he says, there's Radharani. There's the gopas, there's the gopis, there's the cows, there's Vrindavan. Now come back. So you cannot approach Krishna very directly. We can't just directly go to Krishna. We're not on the platform of prema. And it takes a long time. Our process is a gradual process of purification to get to prema. But we have to understand that is our goal. Our goal is to once again associate with Krishna. Hands up if you'd like to associate with Krishna again. Good. And the first qualification is you have to stay awake in the Bhagavatam class. If you want to get to Krishna, first you have to be awake. That helps a lot in sadhana bhakti. I personally find my rounds are always better when I'm awake. I've always experienced that. I also hear the Bhagavatam class a lot better when I'm awake too. It's very beneficial to be awake. So to directly approach Krishna, it takes a lifetime of effort, even many lifetimes possibly. Prabhupada said we can do it in one lifetime. By the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what is lacking can be covered and we go back to Krishna. But it takes time to become qualified to directly associate with Krishna. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there are any questions or comments on what we discussed. So you have to limit the association. I remember at about 91, 92, I was in Vrindavan with my spiritual master, and every day at 12 o'clock he would listen to the radio, like that BBC World News, and he listened to it like, 12 o'clock, and then goes to about 10 past 12, just gives the headlines. So he would listen to it, because at that time the Kuwait War was taking place and there was some big things happening in the world. And I actually said to him, because I'd only been a devotee a few years, and I said to him, I said, why are you listening to the radio? Because I thought, my guru is a pure devotee and I'm in Vrindavan and, we're supposed to give up all these things, and he's listening to BBC. 12 o'clock every day. He'd go into the room, turn it on at 12 o'clock, listen to it for about 10 minutes. And he said, these things are too big to ignore. And he said to me, he said that you can listen to, he said you can get some media information. He said, every day I get some media information just to find out what's going on. Because sometimes things happen and devotees have to react. Just like in 1989, there was the massacre in Tiananmen Square in Beijing. The Chinese government came and killed thousands of people, and then they tried to cover it up. So as soon as my spiritual master found out about that, he was the GBC for China, he just sent a message. He said, every devotee out of China immediately. Just get out of China immediately. Because China's, anything can happen. So you have to keep some contact with what's going on in the outside world, but it has to be limited. And he actually said to me at that time, he said, I don't read newspapers. And that was before the internet was evolved or developed like that. So we have to limit what we do. So maybe devotees look at the news, at 9SNN. What is it? MSN? 9 News, like that. So maybe you look at something briefly, 10 minutes or so, but then the problem is 10 minutes turns into half an hour, then an hour and a half later you're surfing here and then, you're doing it all for preaching, but so you have to be very careful. Actually, you have to know how strong you are in Krishna consciousness. I was reading this yesterday. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, for a devotee to advance, you have to know how strong you are. You have to be honest. You have to know, and that takes practice, obviously, but we have to become honest. If you want to advance, you have to know where you are, where you're situated. And Prabhupada gives the example. Lord Nityananda, he used to go into the brothels where the prostitutes were. Lord Nityananda used to just walk in, right, where the prostitutes were, and he would begin to chant, right? And he would create Krishna consciousness in that place. You know, but we have to understand how advanced we are. You know, if you can do that, do it. Like if you're out distributing books, like door to door, and you come to a brothel, right? If you're strong enough, go in there and preach. But if you're not, then don't. So you have to understand how it will affect you. I remember years and years ago, I was doing a marathon, and I was a young guy, and I was kind of a bit naive and a bit innocent, and I was doing a factory estate. So I was going around to all the factories and selling it like that. And then I walked into it. There was one house in the middle of the factory area. And I walked in there. And you know, I was kind of like a bit of an innocent kind of guy. So I walked in and I said, oh, can I, I'd like to sell some books. And they said, yeah, just sit down on the couch. They said, the girls will be out in a minute. So I just sat on the couch. And then I was like, you know, and there's a couple of guys sitting around. And, you know, I was just kind of sitting there. And I was like, okay. I was thinking, I wonder what this place is. And then after, you know, a few minutes, one of the girls walked down. She had a dressing gown on. I thought, that's strange. It's like, you know, it's 12 o'clock in the middle of the day and she's wearing a dressing gown. And then a guy walked out behind her. And then I thought, oh, okay, now I understand what's going on. I'd never been in a place like that, so I didn't know what it was. So then I distributed some books, actually. Some of the prostitutes brought books. You know, I gave them the books and I said, you know, we're selling these books and like that. And this other thing was some cookbooks and stuff. And I said, yeah, okay, how much do you want? And they gave me some money and like that. So it purified them. So that didn't affect me so much. But if it had, then I would have avoided those things. And I think in the future, because then I understood what they were, when I came across them in the future, then I can't remember if I went in or didn't go in. But you have to depend on your consciousness. So if you get affected, then go back from the material energy. Right? If you're not being affected, then go into it and purify everyone who's in the material energy. But you have to test your strength. You have to understand. Is that okay? Okay. You got a question? Immovable means that the soul is eternally an individual. Prabhupada points this out. There's words in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita like kutastha. Krishna uses particular words, which means fixed in his position. So Prabhupada uses that, and Krishna uses that to defeat Mayavad philosophy. Because if we are fixed in position, right, if we're eternally one thing, how do we change? So if we're one, if we're part of the Brahman, how did the Brahman fragment and become covered by illusion? It doesn't make sense, actually. It's actually an illogical argument. So Krishna says, if we're individuals, that means eternally we are an individual. So that's what it means. Is that okay? Any other question or comment?
One comment. As you said, I have heard that it is like a master procurement.
What is it?
In the beginning, it's like a headmaster for the children in the womb.
Be very careful with this. Okay. So, Chintarupa, it says on the poster, the Kati begins on Wednesday. But as far as I know, it should begin on Purnima, which is Monday. It says Wednesday. So I think.
Was it a conscious decision made by the bodies?
Yeah, because Dhammadhar Mass begins.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. Because in Vrindavan and Mayapur, they begin on Purnima and they finish on Purnima.
I discussed this with anybody in great detail. Mm. So you made a conscious decision, simply to go by calendar, not to go by the other
half. Okay. All right, well, I think we need to, I'll have to discuss all of it, because I'd be concerned that we didn't start on.
Well, it says the appointment system that it starts on Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah.
But I don't think that can.
Yeah, because, I mean, Nisringa Kavacha brings this up sometimes about Pratipadan, about that, but like all over India, they start offering the Dhammadhar.
What is the calendar?
Calendar says Wednesday.
This Wednesday or the following Wednesday?
Next Wednesday, next week.
Wednesday after.
Yeah. But,
yeah,
I mean.
Pratipadan starts.
Yeah, that's when the mass starts.
That's the actual. Not
yeah, it starts then.
It starts on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Because it says Dhammadhar Pratipada.
Yeah.
And that's when it says it starts. But the Purnima is on Monday, but it says.
Yeah.
So that's why it's on the top there.
No, I know that. Yeah. But what I'm saying is that in Mayapur and in Vrindavan, like everywhere, all the Gaudiyas, they follow from, they start Dhammadhar Ashtanga on Purnima and they go to Purnima.
We've done that before, but we've also done it like this too. Anybody
who's
listening,
if
there's any question,
you can
pose a question to
him. Okay, I'll go and see him, please. Yeah. Okay. We'll see if we can work on it. So just watch the poster. The poster will say the same or it will change. So whatever it says, then that's what we'll follow. Like that. So it'll be Monday or Wednesday. One of the two. Okay, any other questions or comments? Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.